The Sportscast, August 2nd, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, Twitch.tv. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels. And please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcast. It will help us out tremendously. This is my first late night in a while, 10 p.m. But for a man that could stay up 10 p.m. Eastern, last night, USA has won their second international tournament this summer against the same team, Mexico, next door neighbor. And join us all the way from Oregon State, Francisco Flores. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
How's it going, Santiago?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. I mean, I feel like a World Cup champ in a way.
Like a World Cup champ. Yep. Nice, nice. I wish I could say the same about myself, but at the moment, not so much. But tomorrow, I think I'll feel better. I'm just getting that hangover, you know, from, I think, did last night happen, you know?
So like last night, USA defeated Mexico 1-0. The goal happened almost at the end of the game. Goals by Mile Robinson. From Orlando City, scored a header from a free kick from Kellen Acosta. And most of the match was dominated by Mexico. Well, I would say the first half. Second half, the USA came back in, which is interesting because I saw this trend going when they played against Jamaica and Qatar. They score at towards the end of the game. So anyways, just want to hear your summary of the match last night.
Well, as far as Mexico, the first half was good. As far as the domination, you know, of the game, the possession, the passing and whatnot. But I just felt that they should have had a goal, you know, within the first 20 to 30 minutes of the game. And they were just doing too much to try to make, I don't know, the goal look fancy or like look. Just overall, they just looked like overconfident, and I just didn't like what I was seeing. You know, a lot of back passing, I felt like there was a lot of opportunities to go forward, and instead of doing, taking a risk, putting that through ball to Funes Mori, you know, maybe he could take, what was his name, Brian Sands, I think, or James Sands, sorry. You know, he's like, you know, give him a through ball, play a little bit risky, but they were just playing. I feel like too. They wanted to score in the same way that they've always scored, with crosses, just crosses, as many crosses as possible into the box. Maybe, you know, Funes Mori would get on the end of it. But I just felt like they weren't trying to risk too much, and they just wanted to dominate in the possession and the stats, which, you know, I'm all for that, but you got to get the results. You got to get the goals. You know, you got to get, you know, one pass in net. At least in the first half, I felt that there should have been at least one goal. They let the U.S. get back into it in the second half, and probably towards the 60th minute, I would say that more pressure was on Mexico to score than there was on the U.S. to hold off Mexico to score. And, you know, I think that 65,000 fans in a packed stadium, you know, and they're all yelling, and, you know, they want the goal to go in, but in the end, I think, there was a lot more pressure on Mexico to score, and it didn't happen. Very disappointed with the result. We'll see where it goes from here. Gotta keep your chin up and keep your chest out, like I always say, and, you know, just take it on the chest like a man, because, you know, you can only blame the players. I feel like, the bench and whatnot, the fact that it wasn't the strongest bench, I feel like it could have been. You can blame it a little bit on the Olympics, you know, two tournaments going on at the same time. But I don't think that should fall on Tata Martino. I think the eight players that were in this squad that were from Europe, that should have been plenty to take on this U.S. B-C squad. I'm still going to call it that.
How much credit will you give to the U.S. goalkeeper Matt Turner of stopping Mexico?
I'll give him a pretty good amount of credit. He definitely deserves a new contract if his team hasn't already given one or is offering him one right now.
Or go to Europe.
Or even Europe, actually, you know, not it's not too bad of a time to do that. Obviously, right now, summer transfer window, so But he is a little bit on the, you know, older side, 27. So, but keepers do mature later on. So he does have that going for him. So maybe there's still a chance for him to be able to play in Europe.
But here's the thing, because you're dealing with Zach Steffen, who's supposed to be the number one goalkeeper, but he's not getting playing time up in Manchester City. So what do you do there?
Yeah. I mean, it's complicated, you know, especially with, you know, the situation that he has, because is what he's picking up from being on the bench and being in practice and talking with Pep and whatnot, taking all that in, is that enough to say, is that equivalent or more to someone who's starting, you know, maybe in the MLS or, you know, even in Europe, you know, in a different league? I'm sure that there's an example, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's super complicated, especially with the goalkeepers, you know, that it's once you have your basically your starting kind of a captain role type of goalkeeper, I feel like it's very hard to take that position away from them, you know, especially Zach Steffen. I feel like no one is going to take that position, that starting role from him. It doesn't matter.
You would think.
Yeah, you would have to be starting in the Premier League probably to take him on, to even challenge his spot, because I don't think anybody's going to take it as of right now.
Yeah, this squad, like you were saying, some people were saying B-minus squad, C squad. a couple players that stood out that are in the conversation to be in that starting lineup against Canada, which is in like 4 weeks pretty much. Matt Turner, I would say for sure, in that conversation, Matthew Hopp in that conversation. And I would have said Daryl DK a couple weeks ago, but I'm a little skeptical. What do you think about that guy?
I mean, didn't really see a lot of him, but, well, me personally. But I do see a little bit of, you know, potential in there. I think, you know, there's definitely his athleticism. And I think is he center mid or is he a winger?
No, he's a striker. Daryl DK. Yeah, he's a striker. He played for Birmingham City this past season.
That's right.
And then Orlando's keep him locked because they're not going to sell him for like $20 million. I'm not sure how much it is, but I think something like ridiculous like that. But he... Some people, you know, call him a project and whatnot, but he was going to be our next Altidore or something like that. But, you know, Zardes might be our guy. Well, we'll see what happens. Anyways, this Mexican squad, Francisco, who do you like? Who do you think will continue to be starting? Do you think a Chicharito might be called up in September?
As far as Chicharito, I think he's been done at the national team.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's done.
Dude, he's scoring goals in LA.
Yeah, but I don't think that's gonna matter, especially with Funes Mori. I think there's gonna be other options, and Raúl Jiménez coming back. I would rather take Raúl Jiménez over Chicharito. Yeah. I don't think Chicharito would come back. But as far as this squad, I do think some of the more senior players, it's time for some of these guys not to get called up as often, I would say. I think Jonathan Dos Santos, he puts in a lot of you know, heart and grit and, you know, that type of work on the field, but I just don't think he's up to it, up to the level that we need center mids to be at. I mean, I think Edson Álvarez, he's always been a center back. Like, he's started as a center back. They play him at center defensive mid, kind of like a sweeper, you know, does a little bit of everything, center defensive mid, center back. But I think that Luis Romo, who went to the Olympics, is way better at that position. Because that's his natural position. It's the position he's always played. So I think he should have been there, and Edson Álvarez should drop to center back. That way we don't have to worry about Héctor Moreno or Salcedo, who both should not be playing for this team. I don't like either of them. They both are already past their time. They've got to win their gold cups. They got to, you know, do what they needed to do. So I think those guys should be out. Nestor Araujo, I think he's still good. Chaka Rodriguez, I mean, he's just kind of the same as Jonathan Dos Santos. Puts in a lot of work, but I don't know, not really feeling it for me. Talavera, I would probably rather have seen Ochoa here at the Gold Cup than in the Olympics, especially Ochoa because he already won one. So, but whatever. Hector Herrera, what can I say about him? Good. That's what I was
saying. Satisfactory. And then,
yeah, Orbelin Pineda, who had the job of coming in as Chucky Lozano's replacement after he was in that horrific injury in the first game, which I would take Chucky Lozano any day, you know, over Orbelin Pineda's abilities. I think Chucky's pace and his one-on-one is way better than what Orbelin can offer, which I, for the most part, I feel he's better at number 10. You know, playing out wide, I don't think he does as well. I think he needs to be in the middle of the field around, you know, players so that he can, you know, use the quick passes a little bit more. And he is a good dribbler, but I just think just speed wise and you know, being able to take those fullbacks on, I think Chucky Lozano is way better at that. And I would rather see that than what Orbelin does, which he does feed, you know, a lot to the striker. But I think having both Tecatito and Chucky Lozano crashing the wings is a way better game plan, because that's what the Olympic team is doing, and just have this forward drop a little bit more to have those guys cut in. But what do I know? I'm not a coach.
I mean, you're close to it. Speaking about coach Tata Martino, you know, first major tournament. I haven't heard anything from the Mexican press about firing him or anything. But what did you think about his performance as the coach this summer?
Well, like I was saying, I think the selection is going to be a little bit hard to blame him on. You know,
Is he limited? I mean, he's dealing with transition here, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he was limited a little bit, but you know, maybe tried to evenly distribute, you know, the skills, you know, to both teams. That way you don't have this, oh, we're bringing a B, C squad. Like, it's kind of overall, it's just, you know, you're a regular squad, I guess, for lack of a better name. As far as Tata Martino, yeah, I don't think he should get fired, especially right now going into the qualifiers. I think that would be more of a shooting yourself in the foot more than anything else. I think let's just, you know, like I said, put your chin up, chest out, and just, you know, take it like a man and, you know, man up to it. You know, after the CONCACAF Nations League, the players said, yeah, we want to, you know, Gold Cup, we want a redemption, we want to take on we want it to be a final against the U.S. They had their chance and they screwed it up again. So now you got to make up for it twice. You know, that's how I see it. But definitely, I think right now this is the lowest point for Tata Martino with the Mexico national team. But you know, this is when the best, you know, managers in the world, this is when they show their true skill and ability, and you know, that grit, and you know, they want to see him, you know, take the team to the next, you know, from the ground and from the lowest point to the highest point. You know, you got to celebrate all the moments.
Quinto partido.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully Tata can take us out of this hole. But if all fails in the qualifiers, I say, yeah, he's got to go. That's it.
Which,
two strikes right now. Three strikes and you're out.
Which the next match is Jamaica. Are you guys be ready? We'll be ready then.
Yeah, I think so. We won't have to worry about the Gold Cup and, you know, which players we have to pick. I think everybody will be available. Well, you would assume, you know, if the players want to release or the teams want to release those players, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm not worried. I'm not worried about Jamaica. I'm not worried about any teams in CONCACAF, even the U.S. All right.
Okay. Name the top three CONCACAF rivals for Mexico. I know one of them is the U.S., but who are the other two for you guys?
It's like at this point, themselves.
Can't be Canada.
No, it has to be the U.S. I mean, other than that, Canada. I mean, I don't know. They're really El Salvador. I mean, they sort of played in a good tournament, but then completely fell apart.
Used to be Costa Rica, but they're not that good anymore.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, it's that's what I said. I'm not worried about anybody. I'm not worried about
anybody. Well, I would have to say the U.S. had a great – I mean, everyone's been saying this is the U.S. golden generation, you know, Pulisic. But this goes beyond Pulisic now. This is – now we're noticing, Francisco, that this U.S. squad is deep, deeper than we thought. Now – you could say that, yeah, they got lucky and won this. No, I think this squad is pretty deep, and this MLS-based team really proved it. Berhalter has a lot to choose from, doesn't he?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it's sort of – well, I think there's a lot of credit to give to Berhalter. You know, I'll say it up front because, you know, he's – changed the way that he first came in, you know, wanting to use, you know, playing out of the back and whatnot. And, you know, that didn't work. And eventually, you know, he had to change his tactics and whatnot. And now, you know, with this BEC squad showing that, you know, there's depth and that these guys are picking up things and learning things that aren't just, you know, the physical attributes of the game, you know, like mentality. You know, you could tell that they... although there was, you know, a lot of heated tackles and, you know, probably some smack talking on the field back and forth because, you know, there were some moments of pushing and shoving and whatnot. You know, I think that the U.S. did good to play into that game because obviously from Mexico's perspective, I think that's just a given. You know, you're going to get a lot of emotion in those type of games, you know, especially when it comes to when the players get fouled and get heated and penalties and, you know, those type of calls. You know, from Mexico's point, you're gonna get a little Latino temperament, all right? Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little, but like I said, I think the U.S. did well of, you know, playing right into it, but not too much, you know, just enough to I think get under Mexico's skin, and you know, they showed out there that they're not gonna take, you know, the bullying or whatever you want to call it from Mexico. You know, if you look, oh, we're the best in CONCACAF. I think they went out there and they challenged them, you know, toe to toe, and Mexico took one right on the chin. And as much as they say that Mexico's, you know, boxers and fighters have good chins, it wasn't strong enough this time, and boom, got taken down. So gotta get up and look for the next one.
Now, there were a few handballs that I know the U.S. committed. Was that something that was legitimate? Do you think the ref should have called it during this final match, or what were your thoughts over that?
No, I don't think there was too crazy or not crazy, but any handballs that should or should not have been called. As far as the refereeing, I do think the ref got a little bit out of control with the fouls. I think he should have let the game flow a little bit more. He was basically calling every type of contact on the field. I don't remember how many fouls there were. Just at the end of the 90th, not even after that, I think there was 30-plus fouls overall from both teams that were called. So I think he should have let the game flow a little bit more. There was a lot of aggressiveness on the field, but I think as far as the handballs, that was good. I had more of a problem with how many times he was blowing his whistle. I was like, dang, this guy, he needs to chill. He needs to chill with that and let the players play a little bit more. But other than that, I have no complaints. Maybe he waited a little bit too long to bust out some yellow cards, but nothing too crazy happened as far as, you know, punches or red cards that needed to be handed out. Hector Herrera kicking, who was it, Acosta in the head. It wasn't kicking. It was just more, you know, he was already in the air. What was he supposed to do?
Yeah. Also, if you notice the goal by Mal Robinson, his shoulder was a little bit offside. Like, the play could have been offside if it was played in the Premier League. Not sure if you saw that.
Yeah. I mean, there was a little bit of leaning, but... I mean, I think I saw the replay like one time on live, you know, as it was happening. And with VAR, you know, everybody's going to use it differently and apply it differently, which I don't understand why that happens. Every league is going to have a different, you know, circumstance, or it can only be applied under certain situations, or, you know, like, to me, that's just it's just too much.
Interpretation,
too many rules. Yeah, like, it's too much. It leaves too much open... openness to interpret the rule however you want, or however that VAR referee wants, I guess. But I do think there should be a little bit more, you know, with how it was 117th minute when they scored. So I do think they should have looked at it a little bit more, maybe, you know, replayed it two or three times, but shoulder.
Every goal gets checked by VAR, you know, every goal is checked by VAR.
But. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, then it's going to just get into the argument of where's the arm and where's the cutoff? Is that a body part that he could have used? You know, like it'll
very
just go
Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. Very Premier
League. Well, anyways, that was the champions. USA won their 7th Gold Cup. Mexico has 9, so Mexico is still ahead. And USA has only, before that match, only has defeated Mexico twice in the Gold Cup finale. So,
yep. pretty crazy stats.
Pretty stats. So, but hey, this is the rivalry that everyone wanted to see. This, you know, like this championship game, they wanted to see USA versus Mexico. Previously, a couple of years ago, it was like Jamaica went twice in a row, and then, yep. But you know, typically it's been, you know, USA. Mexico and Canada has won this tournament. I don't think Costa Rica has, but I consider this, like, the Gold Cup is a very important, a must win for the U.S. That's how I view it.
Well, yeah, I mean, from Mexico's perspective, it was definitely a do or die or win at all costs, especially coming off that CONCACAF Nations League final loss. Like, I thought that was, it's even worse now because, like I said, lost to a B or C squad.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the very next match for USA-Mexico will be in November in Cincinnati. It will not be in Columbus, the traditional one where they, you know, U.S. scores, you know, 2-0 or 2-0. What do you think about Cincinnati as the new venue for USA-Mexico?
I mean, I can see why they're doing it, to promote, you know, the stadium, or, you know, one of the newest teams in the MLS. But I mean, it's not that big, right? It's like 20. What's the capacity on
I think
that?
25
like
1,000, I guess. I think, yeah, it's small, but it looks very nice though.
Yeah it's like one of the newest ones, but I mean, sure, I'll take it. It doesn't matter where, there's going to be a majority of Mexico fans there anyways.
No, it's true. It's kind of hard. Like, Columbus, it was borderline. Like, it was getting more Mexican throughout the years a little bit. So,
yeah.
It's kind of like, it's hard to host these. I mean, if you put it in Texas, forget about it.
Yeah, California,
forget about it. Now, Phoenix, I mean, even like Atlanta.
Yep.
Nowhere safe for the U.S. Nowhere safe. I mean, well, you know. We'll see what happens until November, USA versus Canada. What did you think about that Canadian team? I think they were a good turnout this past tournament. I mean, Canada might be a good force in the future. Might qualify to the World Cup, possibly.
Yep. I think they're overhyped still a little bit. But I wouldn't say that that's a bad thing. I would just say that from this tournament specifically, I kind of expected a little bit more from them. But what are you going to do when you're going up against Mexico?
Awesome.
They didn't have, you know, I guess Alfonso Davies or, you know, whatever, which to me, that he wouldn't have made any difference. But yeah, I guess I expected a little bit more from them.
Who is your favorite Mexican-American player? Hercules Gomez or Jose Francisco Torres?
Not Hercules Gomez.
Why?
But I don't know. I just never liked his analysis or anything.
Talks smack on Mexico a lot?
Yeah, he does.
Okay. Jose Francisco Flores. I can't name a third one because I don't remember. Well, there's probably – oh, wait. That tall left wing defender. I forgot his name. He played for the U.S. like 6 years ago. He was like a left wing back or something like that, like a left wing defender. But I got to look at him. Yeah. But I guess Mexico didn't really want him if they was playing for the U.S. Nope. But anyways, what was that?
Oh, it's just I remember I was telling Drew at the end of the podcast. I was like, "Oh yeah, well, thanks for Efrain Alvarez." And like, I guess we should say thanks for him because he picked Mexico over U.S. recently before this tournament.
Oh wow! Yep.
He got a chance in as a sub in the first game, didn't do anything, and then ever since then, Pizarro went in as the first sub, who's garbage in my opinion. He's MLS now, so. Anybody who plays in MLS should not be playing in the first team of Mexico. That's just my opinion.
That's the thing, man. That's the thing. And I'm telling you, the Chicharito thing, I would not ignore him. I definitely would take a look at it a little closer.
Are you trying to sabotage the team, Santiago? I think I know what you're trying to
do. No, it's a benefit. That guy can score still. Anyways, before we go, any news on Mbappe to Real Madrid? What have you heard lately?
Well, I think with this Varane sale to Manchester United, I will fund, I think, what's left of the money for a deal. I think it's coming. I think it's cooking up. It's here. It's in the works. But I think it's just going to have to the price is going to have to be 150, like something crazy, because that's the only way PSG will let him go. I don't think they're not going to, obviously they don't want to sell him. I think that's been their stance. And I mean, I don't blame them for that. Best player, best young player in the world, at least. I do think it's going to happen. I wasn't
like this summer or like in the future.
Like it's going to happen because with Varane out, I think that's going to leave a big hole. And I think the only with Ramos and Varane gone, I mean, Ramos was already bad enough, but both of them gone, that's going to leave a big hole in the defense. And the only way I think we're going to be able to come up with a way to get people to forget about that is to distract them with a player that's so good they can't defend him, which is, of course, Mbappe. Because Hazard can't do that. Vinicius is not there. And Rodrigo is not there. So I think we're going to have to buy. And with this Varane money, I think that's going to bring it up to an amount that PSG is just going to, they're not going to be able to do anything but take the money.
Rona money. Harry Kane did not show up to Tottenham's training camp. Is that a sign he's going to leave?
I'm still trying to figure out exactly what's going on there. There's been a lot of, this, that, rumors with the media. And latest I heard was that Tottenham wasn't really worried about it, that he just didn't show up for he had a reason. It wasn't that he is going AWOL or anything like that, or trying to hold off to force a move or transfer. I think they just said that they were just going to give him when a player does that, he gets reprimanded, gets hit with the fine, and I think that's all that's going to happen. So I think the media are just read too much into it, and they wanted to get that quick headline out before anybody else.
He's pulling a Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I don't think that it's going to be, or you already know how people, or Drew at least, and everybody talk smack about Tottenham and the way they handle things, and I think they're just going to screw it up, which.
But they had a good offseason so far. They've been buying some players.
Yeah. No, that's true. But I think they're going to hold off. Harry Kane wants to move, right? We know that.
Yeah.
But they're not going to let him, and that's going to end up they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. It's going to end up working against them because he's either going to go for free, or he's just going to hold off, and either look for a loan move, I guess, or go in the winter transfer window, which then he wouldn't play, so it would just work against Tottenham if they hold off.
Wow.
I don't think they should sell him, but if that's what he wants, you can't stop a player from, that's his choice. You can't.
I feel like
even if he's a club legend or whatever you want to call him, even though he started at Arsenal.
Oh, he did?
He came from an Arsenal academy. Yeah.
I did not know that. I thought he was a pure Tottenham player.
No. There's pictures of him when he was a little kid in Arsenal uniform. So he got booted from there and then went to, I think, I forgot, somewhere in like super low league, and then eventually ended up Norwich on loan, and then that's when he came back to Spurs and started going off.
We'll see what Nuno Espirito Santos does. He's making moves. The Mexican-American player that I was talking about was Edgar Castillo.
Edgar Castillo?
Yes, he played for Monterrey, Atlas, Tijuana. Now he's with Cincinnati. And he played for the U.S. men's national team.
I see.
I will send you the link later.
Let me see his face. And then maybe.
Yeah, he's a skinny dude. I guess. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't the greatest thing ever, to be honest. He wasn't like a game changer. But we were like, at one moment, the U.S. was missing left backs. Like, we didn't have much options, you know?
Oh.
So they got this guy, and yeah, I mean, good placeholder, but wasn't ecstatic. Didn't really change the game. Wasn't no Cafu or Roberto Carlos or anything like that. but hey, it was a good placeholder for now. But anyways, I'm out of time. It's late over here. The U.S. women's lost this morning. What'd you think about that?
They lost, all right? And, you know, all of the social justice and all the stuff that they're doing, you know, it came back to bite you in the butt. That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly. And, yeah, this is interesting because U.S. women's are expected to win the Olympics and the World Cups, but they didn't do it this time. I think they're in transition, too, but we'll see what happens. The next thing, Premier League's in 2 weeks, qualifiers in September, soccer doesn't stop. Francisco, La Liga begins in end of August, right?
La Liga, let me see. Yeah, I think it's end of August. Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't start at the same time as the Premier League. I've always noticed that. Wait.
Yeah, or actually, wait, Friday, August 13th.
Oh, wow.
Match day one. Yeah. Maybe because of COVID and, you know, everything just lines up this year.
Exactly. And then Griezmann will probably stay at with Messi.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard is that he only wants to go back to Atletico Madrid, but I don't think that they're going to shell out what Barcelona wants for him just to bring him back, you know, just to be like, this is the only club you'll come back to. I also don't think it's worth it. For what? You know, like, he hasn't done anything in Barcelona. Shouldn't have left in the first place. Like, you leave to a rival team and then you want to come back? Like,
yeah, it doesn't work like
that.
That
doesn't make no sense. That doesn't make no sense.
Barcelona
are stuck with him and his wages, so they better find a way to lower those wages.
Get rid of Coutinho.
From what I heard.
Anyways.
Yeah, they can't even register players. So, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Anyways, we got to go. Francisco, what is the best way to reach you and talk to us about your podcast?
Yep. The best way to reach me is on Twitter at FranciscoBCP. And you can check me out on my podcast. It's called On the Counter Soccer with Drew Pels and Francisco Flores. Myself, we talk about Premier League, all the biggest leagues in the world. Of course, U.S.
Women's soccer.
Soccer, a little bit. 1%, that's how much we talk about it.
Yeah, I know. We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, Francisco is definitely a go-to guy, very knowledgeable. He's definitely a Real Madrid insider as well, so we'll definitely find out, maybe from him, if Mbappe will be going to the Madristas. And of course, you can,
you know.
Yeah, and we can reach us at thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1, Instagram at thesportscast1. And looking forward to this week. NFL is warming up. And of course, the game, the beautiful game of football always is always year around. Anyways, Francisco, any closing words?
Closing words are, Mexico, you better get your shit together.
USA time. Bye-bye.